I want to start off with a guest because you know that the big news story, as well as the Katie Wilson situation for Seattle mayor, is the government shutdown is now over. The House passed a continuing resolution last night. President Trump signed it into effect 10:30 Eastern time last night, around 7:30 West Coast time, and had some comments at the Oval Office as he signed. But what this means now is the next step is that they'll have to do this debate about health care and the health care subsidies that several of the Senate Democrats walked away from in order to get the government reopened for the promise of having a vote on it at a future time. So I want to try and talk to people in the medical world that might be able to give some insight to what actually would bring down health care costs, because that's what this whole shutdown ended up hinging on. Was why is healthcare so expensive? And these premiums that all the Democrats are talking about are going up. Why are they going up? Subsidies that they wanted to have for all this. So let's bring into the show Dr. Raul Garcia, MD, candidate for U.S. Senate here in the state of Washington. He's a clinic owner in Toppenish and coming back on to talk to us here on The Morning Ride. Dr. Garcia, thank you so much for being here this morning.
Well, good morning, Phil. It's great to be back. I feel like I'm coming home to the show that we spend so many hours talking about issues in our state.
Trying to get results, right? So, doctor, why are you charging patients so much for health care that it's sending Obamacare premiums through the roof? Democrats are really upset with you.
Yeah, you know, Phil, I can pledge to you to come in once a week for the next few weeks while this is hot, and we could tackle an aspect of healthcare that could be reduced, because there are so many different aspects that we need to go through. And, you know, if you have an in with the gentleman in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, just tell him that you have a doctor here that's willing to take that on.
I'll see if I can get you an invite.
It's going to take a while to do this. You know, I did a health policy fellowship on different health cares around the world. And at the time, Switzerland was above and beyond the best. Having private insurances take care of everyone in the country, and everyone had to have insurance. But the government gave subsidies to private insurance companies to compete for your bid, and it became such a very efficient program that it was exemplary for the rest of the world. But that's not what we have here in our country, and we have a lot of inefficiency, Phil. And I think that when we look at healthcare, you have to divide it into administrative costs. The complexity of administration in healthcare these days is unbelievably ineffective in the fact that we really are administratively heavy. Not only are we talking about hospitals and clinics and so on, but we're talking about insurance companies and drug companies, right? And we are at the top, very administratively heavy. And just to give you a summary today, and then we could get into each topic as we go along in the coming weeks, but that's a big deal. And I'll give you an example. I have an injury clinic, which I treated patients for personal injury for labor and industries in our state. After seeing the patient for 20 visits, we would bill labor and industries for 20 visits, and they would pay for two. So then we would bill for 18, and they would pay for five. And then we would bill for 13, and then they would pay for one. And on and on and on until you got to zero. By that time, you saw the patient 10 more times, and you started the process again. That's really inefficiency at the administrative side.
Well, and it sounds like it chews up a lot of people's time, too. If you got to get a return notice, okay, they're only paying for two of the 20 that we billed. Now we need to resubmit. Now you've got to have staff that pay for or supply the paperwork or resubmit paperwork for 18 more based on the examples that you were giving. That's got to be a big factor, too.
Well, and I choose that because it's a part of our state, right? And our state inefficiency. And we could dedicate a whole hour on insurance companies and how they're driving the price of healthcare up. But, you know, insurance companies are not only at fault. You know, we have drug pricing that is over the top in many of our drugs out there that are available for our patients. And then we have physicians that are over-treating because Washington, D.C. tells them that this is the way that you need to practice medicine. This is the way that you need to treat every patient. So physicians that have had experience like me, I've been in the field for 27 years, and you could see a patient and say, you know if they're sick or not, and you know what test to offer. The government comes in and says, no, you need to order these tests because according to our panel, these are the tests that you need to order. So you over-order tests on patients. And we could, again, dedicate a whole show on how we over-treat for the care value.
Well, how do you ask maybe possibly on that, because what I'm hearing you say is they require you or they ask you to over-order on tests. But the converse of that would be, well, if you don't and you miss something and then we have a bad health outcome, now are we talking about liability lawsuit type situation? Is there a balancing act in there that could be addressed or make it more efficient, but still avoid that problem of a liability challenge or lawsuit down the line?
And how we do that is to really come out with best practices and education. You know, I feel that education is one of the most significant things that we can do in healthcare all around if we're going to revamp. And we have to have a system where physicians truly feel protected because there's a lot of litigious states in our country that physicians do over-order tests because they feel that if they don't, some lawyer is going to come out and say, well, you know, according to the way we treat patients, you needed to have 6 CAT scans. And to a lot of us, that's just useless. And it increases, of course, our healthcare cost. So, I mean, that's a topic all in itself. I think the administration is going after fraud and abuse, which is the low-hanging fruit, right? There are individuals out there and organizations out there, unfortunately, that have gone away with fraudulent claims, and they keep getting away with them. And that's what I think this Trump administration has focused in. And again, that is another topic that we could really dissect and go into what is fraudulent and what are people abusing. But one key thing that I wanted to bring up, because no one brings this up, and this was a big topic of discussion in Congress, and people out there may not know this. You know, one of the things that they argued about was that illegals will not be able to get health care if they're sick, okay? And I want to erase that from people's minds, because we have a federal law in this country that the emergency department is to treat everyone that comes in the door, regardless of insurance and regardless of legal status in this country, regardless of who you are and how you can pay. So the emergency department can never put a closed sign on their door, and they cannot, by law, refuse care to anyone by what insurance they have or who they are or what legality they have in this country. They must do a medical screening exam for everyone and treat those that are sick. And I want that to be very vivid in people's minds, because one of the big arguments between the Democrats and Republicans in Congress was illegal health care and how much money we're paying for it.
Or illegal aliens obtaining health care, I guess, or some sort of coverage.
Sorry,
right?
That's, yeah.
Sure.
It's my cube English. I'm sorry for that.
And it's early.
Yes. Well, and so I want to put at ease that thought that there are people out there that now are going to die because they can't come to an emergency department. Emergency departments are obligated to do this, and if they don't, the first offense is $50,000. The second, it could be hundreds, and on by the government, and they could shut you down if you really are violating what is called EMTALA, which allows people to seek help if they're sick, regardless of who they are.
Talking to Dr. Raul Garcia, MD. He's from the Yakima Valley, between Yakima, Toppenish, Tri-Cities, practicing medicine there, has a clinic there, trying to get some thoughts from Dr. Garcia, MD, here about where this healthcare debate is going to go now that the government has been reopened with President Trump's signature on the continuing resolution that was passed last night in Washington, D.C. in Congress, and the promise that there's going to be this debate on health care that the Senate Democrats went along with to get the government reopened. So just talking to you about what you just mentioned, I can kind of predict that the answer from the Democrats, who want to be able to supply taxpayer-funded health care to illegal aliens, the emergency room example you just gave, is that they're going to say, well, an illegal alien might be too afraid to go to get treated at an emergency room where they can get treatment irrespective of whether or not they have any insurance or not. They wouldn't go to that ER because they might be fearful that that could lead them to being confronted by immigration officials and or detained and or deported. So when they say that, then what's the response?
Well, they could say that on the microphone and plant a flag, but that is not the reality. I'm an emergency physician, and I see people that I could suspect. Their legal status in this country is not up to par.
And I'm guessing doctors don't even bother to ask that sort of a thing, right?
We don't. Yeah. We don't ever ask that. You know, I am going to treat every single patient the same, no matter who you are. And that's how my whole group here in Toppenish treats patients, and all over the state have many emergency medicine friends all over our state. And everyone knows that we treat patients that are illegal in this country, and we never ask. We treat them with the best practices that we have learned, and they get good health care. So
get the same sort of treatment that anybody else that comes into. Dr. Raul Garcia, MD, clinic owner, operator, emergency room doctor in the Yakima Valley, Yakima, Toppenish, Tri-Cities area. And Dr. Garcia, I brought you on to talk to you about what direction all this healthcare cost debate is going to go, what we can do to reduce some healthcare costs, because that seems to be the big debate right now as we get this government shutdown resolved. And the promise was made to have a debate in December in Congress about what happens with these Obamacare affordable care subsidies, taxpayer subsidies. So the final question I had for you was, what prediction do you make for what happens in Congress here in the next couple of weeks? Can they get this resolved? Will they come up with some sort of kick the can down the road scenario or some sort of temporary fix that delays an actual decision on any of this? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, according to history, you know, when the Affordable Care Act was enacted, there were certain things that they came to a compromise in at the end. And I do see a compromise here as well. You know, we Americans have the habit of, when we have something, we feel is a right. Right. So it's very hard to take away anything from us Americans once we have it. And I think that both parties will sit at the table, hopefully, because for me, the beauty of politics is when you come from opposite sides and you can sit at the table and come to a resolution and accommodations from both sides. I think it'll be very Republican driven. I think that that the Republicans will have certainly the larger percentage of the solution that comes out in December. I think there will be some compromise. I think there will be some aspects of these subsidies that will stay, seeing that they may be significant for certain parts of the population. So that's what I really see happening here in December.
Yeah, I have a feeling they won't be able to resolve much either. That would be just a gut instinct, but maybe they'll surprise us. Maybe they'll come up with something else. Dr. Garcia, one final question. Have you been paying attention to what happened with the Seattle mayor's election?
Yes, Phil. You know, I have been asked to apply for a very significant position in Seattle in education, and I am looking at this, and I'm in disbelief. And I want to tell the listeners out there that voted for Katie Wilson, would you listen to someone that came from socialism? Would you please listen to me and tell you that it doesn't work, that other people's money runs out, and that taxing the rich gets old and the rich leave? I mean, Bezos leaving Washington for Florida was not a fluke. He saved billions of dollars in taxes because of these things. And taxing businesses to close down, and that just, it's a mentality that has failed throughout the history of our world. I saw it firsthand in Cuba. Please listen to someone that has experienced it. It's great to get on the microphone and say, we're gonna stop the hike on rent. We're going to have affordable care. Where is all that money coming from? Have a plan and choose moderate people. That's what I push for every day. We don't need to choose radicals on one side or the other. We need to choose more moderate people that will come to the table and find solutions. This is not the answer. Yeah. I'm in disbelief. I'm in disbelief.
Yeah, Seattle would appear to be going backwards. And one of the things I said a little over a week ago, it was a week ago yesterday, the morning after the first round of results came in, that for Katie Wilson and the other Democrats, and a lot of them, you know, are already in the Washington state legislature, they complain about regressive taxes, and they say they got to tax the rich to fix the bad tax code. What they never seem to end up doing is following through on the regressive taxes to reduce those. They just talk about, well, we got to get more of that money from the rich people. And they never actually push as hard for reducing those quote-unquote regressive taxes. They never push as hard for that as they do for taxing the rich. And that's, I think, the metric to look out for if Katie Wilson ultimately is going to end up being the Seattle mayor, and it looks like that's the case. Well, Dr. Garcia, thank you so much for your time this morning. And you and I will follow up on this, and we're going to keep tabs on what develops in Congress as they get closer to having this debate on health care and the Obamacare subsidies and all the things that make health care so expensive. Thank you for your time this morning, Doctor. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Phil, and good morning to the sound. Thank you.